This is Ask Dr. E, where Dr. Michael Easley answers your biblical or theological questions in 10 minutes or less. Today's question comes from a high school senior Bible class, and I don't know where you are in the audience because I was not paying attention. There she is. All right, what do you got for us?
Do you think that Judas is in heaven? Does the Bible say anything about that?
Is Judas in heaven? You know, this is interesting. I don't know what the attraction is on the one hand of Judas, on the other hand, and I totally get it, why people are intrigued by this character. First of all, we have no passage in the Bible, any way, shape, or form, that suggests he's in heaven. It's just, we don't have any information. Number two, and this is chilling to me, almost every time Judas' name is mentioned, the word betrayed or betrayer is in the sentence. So think about every time they call out your name and they say, oh, the liar, you know, Michael the liar. Every time, the liar named Michael. It's kind of the way Judas is imprecatured. Jesus in John 6:70 calls him the devil. He says, you're the son of perdition in John 17:12. And that word perdition is kind of a big word, but it means destruction. And it's used in other places in the Bible where there's a real interesting parallel to Judas' destruction and the destruction of cities, that they're irreparable. They might say they're unredeemable and they're gone. So this word's a heavy word. In Luke 22:3, it says Satan entered Judas.
Yeah.
Matthew 27, he tries to go back and return the 30 pieces to the Sanhedrin, and they won't take it back. And he basically tries to confess his sin, and he's rebuffed. They don't want anything to do with him, which, by the way, is a great moral of the story. No one ever likes a betrayer, even for money. You're never going to win if you're a betrayer. With his betrayal, the story of his greed, his satanic influence, the way he died would tilt totally on the scale that this guy is not in heaven. He's anywhere but heaven. And unfortunately, you know, it'd be nice if there was a repentance story where he comes back and Jesus appeared to him like the road to Emmaus and Judas fell on the ground and asked forgiveness and Christ forgave his sins. That's fiction. That's not scripture. So we don't have a verse that says he's in heaven. We don't have a verse that says he's in hell. But all the above mentioned tells me he's in hell. He's a son of perdition. He betrayed the Christ. He was influenced by Satan. He took a bribe for it to betray his master. He is, unfortunately, in the consequence of his sin without redemption.
Yeah, I think the conjecture, because I was processing, I mean, Judas is such a complicated guy. When we talk about God used him to betray Christ, Satan entered him. I mean, there's so many things that we can kind of say, like, he didn't have free will, you know, like, he didn't get to choose what maybe he would have chosen the right thing. But then it's the trying to give the money back and then hanging himself. You imagine, like, well, he regretted what he did, right? And so that's where I think it's like, it shows if he just lived haughtily and whatever, we'd say, oh, yeah, he never repented. There is this, like, inkling of,
yeah,
he knew he did the most horrible thing you can do.
The question is, if he understood who Jesus was and betrayed him and then felt sorry about it, what did he feel sorry for doing?
Just betraying
a friend,
a guy.
Or did he feel sorry that, oh, now I realize that I crucified my Lord?
Yeah.
And we don't know that.
Yeah, that's interesting.
We don't know that. And it goes back to the bigger question, is Pharaoh, did Pharaoh harden Pharaoh's heart or did God harden Pharaoh's heart?
Well, the text says both.
And the answer is yes. And this is where, when we try to think about the mind of God, and we can't make him the author of evil intent.
Right.
Some of the old line, hardcore five-point Calvinists talk about double predestination, that God predestines people to hell and predestines people to heaven. Mm-hmm. I take umbrage at that because the whole work and ministry of Christ is to offer salvation to lost mankind.
Mm-hmm.
We're all headed to hell.
Right.
Everybody's going to hell.
Right.
Apart from Christ calling and a person responding by faith. So Judas was obviously picked as a disciple. We also have in the account the disciples who walked away from Jesus. And you wonder, were they really disciples in the sense of a follower of Christ or a groupie like many disciples were in the first century? They followed Gamaliel. They followed a rabbi or a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And that was their school of thought. That didn't mean they were unsaved if they walked away from Gamaliel.
Right.
If you followed Jesus as a student, but you didn't embrace him as the Christ. When everybody leaves him but the 12, and Jesus looks at him and says, do you want to leave too?
Yeah.
And Peter says, what, you alone have words of eternal life? Mm. There's a process where all the disciples had to embrace who Christ was. Ostensibly, not all of them knew Christ until after the resurrection.
Mm.
there's no guarantee they all understood who he was. Peter, James, and John obviously did, I think. But I think after the resurrection, Acts 2, they get it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not simple, but I think the text is clear enough to say perdition, the word destruction, Satan entered him.
Mm-hmm.
He's known as the betrayer. That's his epitaph,
right.
Jesus who betrayed him. It just seems the evidence is really strong that
yep.
he didn't make it into
yep.
heaven.
Yep. All right. Well, if you've got a question for Dr. E, call us, text us, email us. The info is in your show notes. Ask Dr. E is produced by me, Hannah Seymour, mixed and mastered by Sana Morphic, and music composed by Jason Germain.